What does that sound, you ask?
Welcome to the Rec Show Podcast, a show dedicated to beatmakers around the world. Kick back, relax with the host, Golden Mind.
Yo, 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 what's good, everybody? Golden Mind here. Man, I want to say thank y'all for tapping in. I just want to leave y'all this quick reminder that the sponsorship for the Rec Show Podcast episodes is open. All right, so if you go to the link tree, scroll all the way to the bottom, you will find the details that you need in order to, answer any questions and then consider being or hosting one of the episodes for the Rec Show Podcast, man, sponsoring one of the episodes in the Rec Show Podcast, man. So all we really need is, basic information or who you are, what you're trying to push out. And it's got to be something that matches the show as well. So everything will be vetted, but yo, man, it's open right now. I would do 30-second, 45-second spots on whether you got a project, a performance coming out, you got a collab album coming out, anything like that. So, business owners, man, small business owners, man, if y'all need that extra push as well, I'm available to do that as well. So, yo, man, let me get into the episode. Before we even get into the interview, we're going to check out Growing Pains by my guy, B4 Lasers, man. He's got an album coming out October 13th, 2023. He just released this joint on Friday. So, yo, man, check it out, man. The artwork is dope. What he's been doing with Instagram, the visuals is dope. Growing Pains by B4 Lasers. Single is out right now wherever you stream and Bandcamp, man. So go pre-order that joint. Support the guy, man. Let's get into it, yo. Check, check, 1, 2, peace and love, everybody. Golden Mind here for the Rec Show Podcast, man. Coming to you live and direct from the Rec Show Podcast YouTube channel, man. Thank you all for tapping in, man. Thank you all for staying, listening to this whole conversation. Yo, you know, I always do a recap of last week, man. We had the one and only Cozy Cole G, man. So I need y'all to definitely tap in with that episode, man. It's such great conversations that I have on this podcast, man, that we have
with beat makers, music producers, and composers as well. Before that last week, it was Mr. Abstract Butterfingers, man. So, yo, man, we just like all the episodes, man, are live right now on Spotify, Apple Music, Google. They're being uploaded on YouTube channel as well, man. So check the links in the description of the show so you can have something to listen to while you're on your drive, while you're flying, while you're biking, while you just chilling, cleaning the house, doing whatever you're going to do, yo. So, but yo, today I have a special guest, man, a very good supporter of the show, man. He's been doing this thing, making beats as well, man. He's a beat maker out of Tampa, Florida, man. So my Florida people, man, this is going to be, let me think, man. This might be my fifth Floridian on the Rec Show podcast, man. So, yo, man, Florida stand up. Yo, he's a beat maker. He's a gear repair man. He's a live performer. He makes, you know, lo-fi. He makes boom bap. He makes electronic dance music, man, like whatever. We gonna get into all of that, man. Live performer as well, man. So I want y'all to give it up and welcome the one and only Matt with one T to the show. What's good, Matt?
Yo, thank you for having me on, man. Oh man, that was such a beautiful opening, bro. I'm like, damn, my heart.
Yeah, man. Listen, man, yo, thank you for always tapping in with the Rec Show podcast, man. Like, I literally listen and look at the comments, try and respond to all of them. Yo, you always been a responder, man. You always say, yo, this was like, yo, check out this person, check out that person, man. So, yo, I really appreciate your support, man. Welcome to the show, man. How you been?
Yo, I'm good, man. I'm excited. I'm pumped. Like, this is like I was telling you earlier, like, this is a cool, like, full circle moment. You know what I mean? So I'm just like, damn, bro. This is very, very excited. Very, very, very hyped. Like,
I got you. Yo, it's my honor, man, to have you on the show, man. So I just want for my B-heads that may not know who you are, man, that, you know, just tuning in for the first time to your frequency, can you explain, like, how did you even come up with the name Matt with one T? You know, any affiliations that you might be a part of as well? And how long have you been making beats? You know?
So, okay. So how I got the name Matt with one T, it's very dumb. My first job, like in high school, I worked at Burger King, right?
So okay, me day, too. Yeah.
So you know. So I went and did the job interview and the lady's like, all right, cool, you got the job. We're doing all the paperwork and stuff like that. And like, I'm about to leave the office and she goes, hey, you did your application wrong. And I'm like, wait, what do you mean I did my, like, how do you mess that up? It's a Burger King application. You do everything online. Like, what's right. going on? And she goes, look at your name and then look at your social security card. So I was like, okay. I was like, well, I don't think it's my name. And so I'm looking and my social security card got one T, bro. My whole life, I thought my name was spelled with two T's. And I was like, I'm like, oh shit. And she goes, yeah. She goes, you've been spelling your name wrong. I was like, oh.
So, oh my gosh.
I was like, bro, I'm like, all my documents, everything has two T's except my social security number, bro, or my card. So I was like, yo, I gotta tell my mom. Now, mind you, like, I'm a quadruplet, bro. Like, I'm four at the same time. So I go up to my mom, like, mom, like, why is my name spelled wrong? She goes, oh shit. She goes, I forgot.
Yo. Wow. Yeah,
that's how I got the name, man. As far as like what I do, like what I make, like, you know, I make a boom bap house, you know, anything that kind of like just pretty much, you know, I'm not really like locked, like genre locked or anything like that. Like, I'll make whatever, right. You know, what I'm feeling. So it's like, I'll make DMB, I'll make house, I'll make boom bap, I'll make, you know, just whatever I'm feeling at that day. You know, I've been doing it for, I want to say it's 2013 now. So 2023. I've been doing it. I started in 2020, like really like cutting my teeth and actually like making beats and stuff like that. So it's been about like 3 years. That I've been
nice
making beats and stuff. So yeah, man, it's been fun.
Nice, man. Yo, that's great. You said, mom, yo, why I got my name with two T's this whole my whole life. Oh man, I didn't know. Man, that's crazy, yo. Yo, shout out to moms, man. You are quadruplet,
yo. Yeah, man, I'm a quadruplet. So, you know, like, understandably so. My mom had to be working hard, like, both my parents, man. You know what I mean? So, you know, like, I was like, Mom, how you forget that? But, you know, understandably so. Like, just trying to take care of four kids and do all this stuff. So, you know, you know, it's I just thought it was really funny. Like, I laugh about it every time I think about it.
Yeah, man. Yo, shout out to, yo, I know she was working hard, man. Your moms and pops, man. So,
yeah.
Shout out to your moms and pops, man. I've never heard of that. I've never had a guest that's been a quadruplet before. You're the first one, man. So
let's go. Yeah, yeah, let's go.
So, yo, man. So, okay. Let me ask this question, man. We're going to go down a journey, man. How did you even get into, like, making beats? Where did that come from? How did you say, you know what? I want to try my hand at this. I want to make, you know, all these different types of music and not stay in one box. Like, where did that come from? Where did that spark come from?
I could tell you exactly. It was in 2019. So I've always been, like, music adjacent, right? So, like, my job for a little bit, like, in high school and kind of, like, just, like, a couple years after when I got out, like, in 2016 or something like that, I was doing, like, a live theater, right? So I worked as an audio technician. So I would, you know, either work behind the board, like, for theater productions, live music productions. Like, that's pretty much all I did in high school all the way to, like, now, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, when I got, like, my first official job, when I moved out here, I want to say, like, 2016, 2017, or when I lived in Winter Haven, you know, I worked at this college, and they had a theater program. They were looking for a sound guy. Like, I just moved there. I went into the office. I was like, hey, I'm a sound person. This is what I do. And they're like, yo, we have an opening, like, jump on. Like, oh, okay, bet. So, you know, I did a lot of, like, theater productions. I did a lot of stuff with, like, if there were any shows that the college was, like, producing. So any orchestra shows, like, any band shows, or if they had, like, any bands come in, that's kind of what I did in college and also a little bit in high school. So I've always been, like, music adjacent. So in 2019, I went out into North Carolina. I went to this music festival thing that was out there for, like, a couple months through a friend of mine, because they're like, hey, they have an audio position. Do you want to, like, do it? When, you know, go live out in the mountains for, like, 3 months. I was like, yo, bet. Like, that sounds fun.
Right.
So basically, like, the festival was, like, very, like, orchestra. It's called the Brevard Music Center. So what they would do is that they have a lot of, like, orchestras come in, like, a lot of, like, from, like, these, like, colleges and stuff like that. I couldn't name exactly, like, where all these, like, universities of, like, where all these, like, music students come from. So they'll do, like, opera, they'll do orchestra, and what was the third thing? And then sometimes they'll have, like, bands and musicians come in to come play at the music center. So that was cool because, you know, all the time I was always around music people or just, like, learning, like, how to mic up, like, you know, how was it, like, orchestras, like, how would you mic up a drum? How would you mic up like, all that? So I've always been, like, music adjacent until, like, one day while I was out there at the music center, I met my homie Scott, and Scott was like, yo, you ever mess with Ableton before? And I was like, no. He's like, yo, do you want to like a cracked version? So I was like, oh, shit. I was like, bet. All right, cool. Because I've never used it before. Like, the only DAWs I would use is, like, Reaper or, like, Logic and stuff like that. So, like, I never used Ableton before. So he's like, yo, here's Ableton. Try it. And then from there, you know, that's kind of where it started. Because I was like, oh, shit. Like, I can make music on here. It's not just, you know, like, I'm cutting up waveforms or, like, editing it and stuff like that. So, you know, for, like, a year, I was trying to, like, figure out how to use Ableton. Because, like, anybody that's used Ableton will tell you, like, yo, this shit is hard.
Right,
you're, like, overwhelmed. Then, like, little by little, I'd be watching, like, YouTube videos. I'm like, yo, like, how do you make a beat? Like, how do you do this? And then one day I stumbled upon a beat set from, I don't know if you know, Taj Mahal.
He's a Japanese beat maker. Yeah, I got his albums. I got one of his albums in my collection right now.
Boom, then you already know. So, like, I found his the Mellotron beat set, the one that he's, like, in the boat.
Yeah,
and shit.
I've seen that.
I was like, what is he using? Because I'd never seen, like, a sampler before in my life. I was like, what is that? I'm like, did he make that on that? So I was like, yo, I want one. So like I saved up some money when I got back and I bought a 404 and I'm like, yeah, bro, I'm gonna be making Taj Mahal type beats. And I was like, yo, this shit's hard. And then, you know, then I bought an MPC, a 1000. I was like, oh, I'm gonna try it on that. Like, that looks cool. And then so like I was learning the 404, the 1000, and then the Ableton all at once. Like, that's so you can imagine, it's like, dog, how are you learning all these samplers? So little by little, I learned stuff on the 404 that would help me with the 1000, and then it would help me with Ableton. And then, you know, from there, it kind of like, once I had everything like locked in, once I figured all the devices out and stuff like that, like I just hit the ground running. I was like, all right, okay. I was like, bet. I was like, this is how I'm gonna do it. And that's how I got my start, man.
Wow. Wow, man. Yo, you know how many times I've watched that Taj Mahal Lamellatron set? Yo, I thought that was in a van, but it's on a boat.
Yes, yeah, on a boat. And I didn't know for the longest time, dude, because I would look and I'm like, yo, why is there water like on this? I thought it was a car. I was like, bro, where are they at? Where this car is at? And then someone goes, nah, bro, it's a boat, in the comments. And then when I looked again, I was like, yo, they're on a boat, just dead ass. Like,
wow, that's that's crazy, man. I never knew that, man. But yo, man, like, yeah, he's definitely a heavy hitter for me, man. Taj Mahal, so many dope beats, man. Like,
oh my god, for
people that do, for the internets that may be listening to this or that are going to listen to this, I'm gonna link that Lamellatron beat set that he's talking about in the description of the show, man. So just click it, man. It'll take you right to it. You'll know what I'm talking about when you get to it, man. But man, so you getting your start being around music, which is great, because now you seeing, you know, orchestras, you seeing where the placement of, you know, like the cymbals or the drums or the piano, the bass, the violinist, the trumpeteers, you know, the brass sections. Like, you getting firsthand knowledge of that. Like, what was that experience like for you? Like, just being there, miking up for them.
Bro, it's fine, man. Like, cause like, you know, you like, as like a technician, you kind of like learn the flow of like how certain things go. So like doing like, what's it called? Not orchestra. What, you know, when you have a bunch of vocalists, I forget the term, you know, when it's like it's a bunch of them all together. It's not just like one, it's like 40 of them.
Like a choir.
Yes, a choir. There you go.
Yeah.
So when you like have a choir, like it's easy because all you got to do is just set up two condenser mics, kind of like aim it, or like shotgun mics, and aim it towards them and make sure that it's like spaced out evenly. So that way when you pick it up on the board and it goes out to the main PA, you know, you're getting like a really good sound. You're capturing everything, and you know, like you're not capturing any background noise or anything like that, which is awesome. Or, you know, like with orchestras and stuff like that, you know, like miking up a piano, like, you know, what specific mics does the piano need? How do you mic up your brass section? How do you mic up your flute section? Do they have a mic they have to put it in? So I learned a lot of like music, like very, you know, classical music, just like getting a taste for it, and getting a taste for like opera was the coolest one, because it's like you don't need mics, because like they can project all the way from the from the stage all the way up to the second floor and back. Like, it's, you know, so you learn. So it's very cool to get like that. The experience was awesome because I love it. I love doing live sound. I love being behind a mixer. I love mixing shows, or like when I used to work at a bar while I was in North Carolina as well. We would get like live bands that would come to this bar, and I would make, and you know, when I wasn't working at the music center, or when, you know, at night, like from like 11 to like 2 in the morning, I'd be at this bar mixing this band and then like tracking out all their stuff so I could just hand it to them later and be like, yo, look, I have like all the stems from your thing that you did tonight, like here's a copy of it. So it was cool, man. So like, it's, you know, it was fun. Like, I look back at it very fondly.
Wow, man. So how do you think you being in that, and like you're more than just a beat maker, man. You're like you're seriously like an engineer. Like, you got all of these skill sets right now, man, just being and doing that type of stuff. That's engineer level. Like, have you been to school for engineering or?
No, dude, I was all self-taught, man. Like, I've been very lucky that, you know, I got those opportunities were available to me, where, you know, I had, you know, all these like older guys like, hey, you want to learn how to mix a board? Or like, hey, do you want to learn how to hang a PA in the big concert hall? Like, you know, like crazy shit that I would have never, like, had I not like been like very hungry and looking for it, or just, you know, been connected, you know, well connected, I would have never had those experiences, man. So, you know, It's not detrimental, I guess it is. Cause you know, if it wasn't for all those experiences, I wouldn't have a lot of the knowledge that I have now. You know what I mean?
Man, that is incredible, man. Would you recommend people get out and just try and, well, for my beat makers, music producers, composers, would you recommend just getting involved with something in the local community or local area to get that experience?
Dude, let me, like, I know there's another beat maker that I know here that he just moved to California. He goes by Miu. Miu works as he works in corporate AV. So that's what he had a very similar roadmap that I did, that he worked for this corporate audio video company. And so he got his, you know, he cut his teeth as far as like all the live stuff, like setting up mics, you know, setting up speakers and stuff like that. And his way. And so we talk about it, like, it's really cool that, you know, he's also a beat maker, and we could be like, yo, bro, like, have you mixed on this console before? Like, how is it mixing in the space? So, you know, that really helps you. Like, it's helped me a lot. So I would say, like, if you've ever, you know, wanted to get, like, you know, want to cut your teeth and like really like learn like mixing, go mix live music, bro, because you literally have like, what, 20 minutes to like mix a whole show, like front to back, no stops, and you're just making sure that it sounds good for the audience. Like, that's some pretty good, like, you know, like speed time. Like, you're getting your seat time for sure. So yeah, like I would recommend it, honestly. Like, you meet a lot of cool people, you do a lot of cool shit. Am I allowed to curse? Like,
yeah, you can cuss. Yeah, you can cuss. You good?
You know, like you meet a lot of cool people, you learn a lot of cool shit, and then, you know, that kind of helps you in like a lot of the experience that you'll learn will help you in other ways that, you know, and not just like beat making. You know what I mean? Like, I learned a lot how to fix gear because of, you know, working like with like a bunch of like audio equipment, and they'll break because someone dropped a mic, or, you know, something broke or something got wet. You know, you kind of learn how to like fix cables, you know, how to fix gear, you know, you learn a lot of really good skills that you'll use throughout your whole life. I would say 100%.
Wow. Hey, you giving out gems already, my guy. You know, yo, let's go, man. Yo, this is the kind of stuff that, you know, we want to get to the you know, the inner workings of, like, this is where we geek out. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't know any other podcast that's literally like talking about what we talk about on the show. So this is firsthand knowledge too. This ain't like he say, she say. You nice. Actually been doing this for how long? How long you been doing this type of stuff? Engineering type of stuff.
I want to say I started when I was 18. I'm 25. So it's like, what, like almost a decade? Like,
how okay. Many-
So I've been doing it for a while, man. Like, it's fun. Like, I couldn't think, you know, I couldn't think I would live my life the way I would if I hadn't done that, man. Like, I love it. Like, it's a part of me very much.
Wow. Wow. That's incredible, man. Your story already is, you know what I mean? y'all on an upward trajectory, man. You know, so just to experience. Yeah, for internets, man. If y'all need some engineering, hit up my boy Matt with 1T.
Yo, if you need some gear fixed, let me know, bro. I stay fixing people's gear. If you got broken stuff, yo, hit me up. I got you. Like, we'll talk.
Yeah, check his IG, man. Yo, he got the repairs on there, man. You want some new pads on your machine? Yo, we gonna get in all that. Hold on, man. So
yeah, go for it.
But yo, let me take it back, man. For you, you know, growing up, you know, in with your mom and dad, like, and you got three other siblings, right? So
yeah.
What were y'all listening to when you were growing up? Like, what types of music, and what was the vibe with your brothers and sisters?
So, like, as far as like my siblings and stuff like that, we're all like, you know, we all have very different like vibes, aesthetics and stuff like that. Like, but you know, as being siblings, you'll have a lot of things that you'll like that we'll all like come together to. So like growing up, dude, like my dad is like, we call him like the human iTunes or the jukebox, dude, because like my dad listens to everything. Like, I would not have a lot of my music taste if it wasn't for my dad. Like, we listen to a lot of like R&B, we listen to a lot of like rock music, I can't tell you, I've listened to like stuff that I would have like I've never would have heard before. We used to listen to a lot of trance, a lot of DMV. Like, we listened to everything under the sun. Like, nothing was off limits when it came to my dad. So you know, we listened to everything. Like, I could tell you, like, it went from, like, Take It Slow by, John Legend to we're listening to, what's his name? Gregory Daniels. Oh, man, I do not remember. Like, you know, like, we're listening. We're, like, genre bending, like, everywhere, dude. So I got a lot of my music taste from my dad. And then what was really cool, like, he always had, like, a Mac or something. So he always, like, had his iTunes, like, stacked, man. Like, he had all the music. So I would take his iPod. I would listen to whatever was on there, bro. And it was awesome because, like, he'd have it stacked. And, you know, he also used, like, LimeWire back in the day. So he was getting, like, a bunch of, like, these different mixes, like, a bunch of house mixes, a bunch of, like, these, like, Caribbean mixes. Because, you know, like, at that time, we lived in Miami. So, like, we listened to a lot. Like, you know, nothing was off limits. Like, we listened to stuff from, like, Cuba, Venezuela, Dominican Republic, like, Puerto Rico, like from these different artists that, you know, they would just post mixes. So I got, like, a very wide, like, taste for music because of my dad, and I owe that to him so much. Like, man, like the other day we found his hard drive from his old computer, and he had, like, what, like, 200 gigabytes worth of songs. Like, yo, like,
wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Like his music library is insane. So, you know, it was awesome, man. Like, you know, nothing was off limits, and that was something I'm very grateful for because of my dad. And, like, I love that. Like, we'll talk about, like, different, like, music or, like, just, like, different genres and just be like, oh, dad, I was listening to Donny Hathaway the other day. He's like, what are you doing listening to Donny Hathaway? Yeah. Like, bro, it's so good. Like,
yo, man, that's incredible, man. Like, yo, to have nothing be off limits, man, you get in all different types of vibes, man. Like, I don't know if cussing was allowed. Did he have, you know, songs with cuss words and all that?
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. Like, he'd be like, yo, don't play this in front of your mom. But, like,
that's what I would say to my kids. Like, yo, hey, listen, you know, this is not for mommy's ears. Chill, yo.
Yeah. Oh. Like, don't catch you doing that. I was like, okay, I'm like, you got it. Like,
yeah, man. Yo, shout out to your dad, man, for putting you on, man, playing all types of music. Yo, and he still got the music, so, like, y'all could actually chop it up and be like, dad, yo, what was you listening to back then? And, you know, has, I don't know if he took you to concerts or anything yet, but
man, we got lucky. We did a few like local concerts, like when I lived back in Miami. It was like the Vizcaya, like, Valentine's Day, like, concert. So, you know, like, I got my taste for live music, like, at a young age. It wasn't like anything like those big, like, stadium concerts or anything, but we did go to a couple concerts growing up and stuff like that.
So what if I can ask this question, what ethnicity did you grow up with? And, like, what is it? Are you Cuban? Are you Mexican? Are you Puerto Rican?
I'm Dominican. I'm Dominican on my mom's side and then Puerto Rican on my dad's side. But the thing about living in Miami that a lot of people will tell you is that it's such a melting pot because you have Dominicans, Puerto Ricans, Colombians, right, like, Venezuelans. Yeah. Like, so it's like a melting pot. It's very much like a melting pot of, like, culture. And that's, like, where I grew up. Like, I always thought that was, like, normal, like, that everybody's first language was, like, Spanish or something like that. Like, in Miami. So, like, you listen to a lot of music, man. You'll listen to a lot of, like, Puerto Rican music. You listen to a lot of, like, Cuban music. You'll listen to a lot of, like, Dominican music. And, you know, that kind of helped as well, is because, like, you'll listen to the radio and you'll find all these, like, different stations and stuff like that. So, like, nothing was really, like, Miami really embraces the melting pot of, like, just different forms of music, whether that be hip hop, whether that be, you know, like, reggaeton and stuff like that. So it was really cool, man. Like, I'm very, very, very happy and prideful where I grew up.
Saludos a Florida. Ah, man, shout out to, yo, I know a little bit, man.
Bro, that's all you need. That's how you get by.
Listen, man, I got, you know, I'm in Texas, man. So this is Texas Spanish I'm trying to learn right now. Man, completely different, man. So,
yep.
Texican? What did they say? Texican?
I ain't never heard that one. Oh, shit.
Yeah, they say Texican out here. Yo, so, man. Oh, so that's amazing, man. That's crazy, man. Just you being around the melting pot, growing up in that, and now you making beats and performing in front of clubs and, you know, different types of people and stuff like that. Like, What's that experience like for you performing with, you know, and just showing people your influences and, you know, your beats?
Man, like, amazing. That's the only word I could describe it. Like, it's cool. Like, you know, coming back from my background, right? Like, I was always the person in the back, right? Making sure that everything sounded good. Now, I'm now in the front. Like, now it's just like, it's me. Like, I'm the one that's, you know, like, doing the thing. Like, you know, playing my music, showing that. So, I couldn't think of a better feeling, man. Like, it's amazing to be, you know, to be able to perform my music and then, like, you know, from something that came from my bedroom at like 2 a.m, someone is literally like, you know, like banging their head like, yo, this is the coolest shit I've ever heard. Like, how did you do that? Like, you know, when you hear that as like a producer or a beat maker, that someone is enjoying this frequency that you've made and they've accepted it and they're, you know, it's not, and they enjoyed it. Like, man, like it's a beautiful feeling. Like, I couldn't imagine like not doing that, like, at all, man. Like, it's amazing. Like,
yeah.
That's the way I can put it.
Yeah, man. I just get a feeling. I get the vibe, man. You literally genuinely enjoy performing in front of people. When I see your performances, and we'll talk about a couple of your performances in a little bit, but when I see your performances, I'm like, yeah, man, he having fun up there, man. You vibing. People in the crowd is vibing with you too, yo. So, like, to have people vibe with you, yo, I know this because I just performed on Tuesday. That's a crazy, like, experience just to have you, yo, you making your beats in your, you know, on your bed or in your closet. I'm in my clothing closet right now. That's my beat room. But to make beats and then play it in front of people you don't even know, and then you see them start dancing, you know what I mean, and vibing with you.
Yeah, man, like, you get it. You get it. Like, it's the best feeling. You're like, oh, shit. You're like, yo, it's not just me. Like, other people fuck with it. Like, it's great.
Right. Yeah, man. Like, and they come up to you afterwards and just, like, yo, your beat set was dope, man. Like, yo, how can I follow you and blah 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 all that time. Yo, yeah,
exactly. So, like, yo, like, what? Like, that's crazy. Yeah.
So, I mean, I say that to say this, man. Like, some of my listeners, some of my people that are going to be listeners, might be going through like, yo, people ain't paying attention, man. Like, people not, you know, and they not tapping into, you know, my frequency right now. What would you say to them, like, to them that may be discouraged on people, not enough people paying attention to their music?
Man, I would say it's not about the majority. It's about, like, your circle, bro. Like, and I've been in that position where I'm like, yo, like, I'm not, like, people aren't fucking with my shit, or like, yo, I haven't, you know, like, I'm not getting the praise that I thought I was gonna get playing my beats. Like, man, like, if it wasn't for, like, my friends, dude, like, my core friends that I go and hang out with them and we all make music together, like, and we're like, oh shit, like, we made this, like, dude, like, really, like, if you have a good core of, like, a good group, like, you're the people in your corner that fuck with you, like, and they fuck with your shit and you rock with them and they rock with you, that to me is more important than, you know, appeasing the masses, which is kind of, like, weird, right? Because you're making music for everybody, like, for the masses to enjoy. But, like, really, like, have a core group of, like, your homies that fuck with you and they're like, bro, keep going, and they push you into the right direction, I promise you, like, everything else will kind of, like, fall in place. Because, like, my experience, like, I wasn't, you know, I was always, like, very nervous about going to play live or, like, doing live sets and stuff like that, and I haven't been doing it for too long, you know, being very, you know, transparent. Like, I want to say it was like November of, like, last year that I started, like, actually, like, playing live, man. Like, if it wasn't for the friends that I made that, you know, we'd go out and go play and, you know, we'd go hang out with each other and go, like, make shit, like, you know, it would be very disheartening because, you know, it's hard when it's just you, right? Like, it's just you making the music, or it's just you, like, by yourself. Like, if you don't have that core group, man, or just, like, that one friend that really fucks with it, that is like, yo, keep going, that to me at the end of the day is always going to be more important, because everything else will come. Because once I started playing live and I met, you know, my group, my friends and stuff like that, like, you know, after that, everyone's like, yo, I fuck with you. Like, yo, your shit's cool. Or like, hey, like, you know, just having people that are going to be real and honest with you about how the stuff you make, or, you know, giving you those points to, you know, be like, hey, maybe if you did this, like, you know, like just people that aren't going to bullshit you. And, you know, at that point, you know, you'll start carving your sound, you'll start carving your frequency. And then, you know, at that point, people are going to start listening. I this was basically, yo, get your good group of homies, rock out with your homies, and just do your thing, bro. Like, and then everything will come.
All facts, man. All facts, man. Yo, I'm glad I asked you that question, man, because that's what it comes down to, man. Just so core, like, if every, yo, we, I know we all want to see, like, you know, we see Timbaland or we see Pete Rock or, you know, the RZA with millions of people following him and stuff like that. But
yeah,
if you got a core group and you just get one new listener a day or something like that, like, that's really what matters, man. Like, all the extra shit is not even relevant if you really think about it.
Exactly. And it's a long, and the whole music thing is, it's very much a long haul. Like, nothing's gonna happen overnight, you know what I mean? Like, it's gonna take a lot of time. But if you're, you know, you're okay with that, then bro, just go. It's not a race, it's a journey.
Yo, say it again. Yeah.
It's not a it's not a race, it's a journey. Like, once you pick that up, man, you know, fuck it, you'll take your time, you'll have your ups and downs, but you know what, like, the good's gonna outweigh the bad at the end of the day.
Man, so true, man. Yo, thank you for these gems, man. You giving them right now, yo. So man, so okay, let's talk about the, you know, yeah, that one beat, man, that one beat that, you know, when you heard it, or that, or maybe a couple beats or a couple songs that you heard and you were like, yo, what the fuck is this, man? Like, what, yo, who made this and how can I, like, make something as close to it as possible, yo?
Man, oh my god, dude, there's so many.
Yeah, man.
Like, I want to, like, real, like, I think what really, like, turned my head into beat making was, like, a friend of mine in my computer science class in high school was like, yo, you ever heard of Nujabes before? I'm like, yo, who's that? And he's like, I got you. He gave me his whole discography, like, on a CD. And I think when I heard Feather for the first time, I was like, what is this, dude? Like, this isn't like anything I've ever heard before. Like, it was very, you know, when you think of rap, you think of, like, at least, like, you know, like, you know, whatever's on, like, the top 100 or stuff like that, as far as, like, me, right? When I heard, like, new, like, Feather for the first time, or when I heard, like, Nujabes's production, I'm like, dude, what is this? Like, this is so beautiful, like, beautifully made. Like, I didn't think you could make shit like that, you know what I mean? Like, so there's that. And then when I heard Taji Mahal's Le Metaltron set, or what it, no, I know the exact album too. It's I have it right in front of me. Oh no, I don't have it. God damn it. There's a song on this album. It's called For a While. When I heard that the first time, I was like, what is this, dude? I'm like, how did he make this? How did he get the vocals to do these things? And then, you know, later on I learned it was like, oh, he's chopping samples and stuff like that. Like, it's, man, like, that was crazy too. Let me see. Oh, I got it right here. Do you know the game Jet Set Radio?
Jet Set? I've heard of it before, but no, you got to refresh my memory.
All right, so Jet Set Radio, or Jet Set Radio Future, is... what's this game where basically, like, you were part of a crew called the GGs, right? And your whole goal was, like, to tag up these places and kind of, like, you know, like, get your crew to the top. The music, the composer for that game, it's Hideki Naganuma. He did majority of the tracks, dude. What is it? I Felt Like a Butterfly. Like, if you, like, it's by Hideki Naganuma. It's going to be on the Jet Set Radio Future soundtrack. When I heard that for the first time, I was like, what is this? I'm like, I didn't even know you could make music like this. Like, dude, like, if you ever want, like, a pumped musical journey, as far as, like, a lot of variation as far as, like, artists and stuff like that for a video game soundtrack, definitely check out, like, Jet Set Radio Future, the original Jet Set Radio. Like, those, that game and the music in that game also shaped a lot of, like, what my ear really likes. Because there's a lot of, like, very, like, high 140, 160 BPM tracks, and there's like this really like cool, chill, like very like ethereal like sounding. Like it was like, it's all that that kind of like was my melting pot as well when I started experimenting with music. Like, man.
Wow. Wow. Yo, man. The game cover looks familiar, but I can't remember if I played that before or not. We definitely going to check it out now, man, because a lot of my guests have been recommending game soundtracks, because just because like Final Fantasy or, yes, you know, some other type movies, like all of these different games, especially from like Nintendo, like they had the illest soundtracks, you know?
Yeah, man, like it's crazy. There was a lot of like games that I was like, bro, like what is this? Like like Sega GT 2002 and stuff like that. It had some of the Jet Set Radio tracks on it as well. Like there's so much good music in video game soundtracks that I feel personally, and I could be wrong, that a lot of people like sleep on. Like, but man, like there's some heaters. There's a lot of heaters in some games. You'd be like, whoa, what is this? Like this new game that came out that's kind of like a spiritual successor of Jet Set Radio. It's called Bomber of Cyberpunk. Bro, the music on that game, and that's a recent game, like go listen to that soundtrack, bro. Like there's so much fun. Like the whole 32 tracks or whatever that's on that game, back to back heaters. Like I'm talking like this is the craziest soundtrack for a video game. Like it's all like 1000% recommend. Check that shit out. Like
Yo, man, that's what, see, internets, man, tap into these game soundtracks, man. Yo, it's so much going into games right now. Like even our community is getting into the gaming sector, not just, you know, on YouTube and stuff, and getting into the gaming sector, and their beats are being played inside of these games, man. Like I know a lot of my guests have recognized that I know a lot of people pay attention to like 2K and, you know, the what's the skateboard game that was
Tony Hawk Pro Skater?
Tony Hawk Pro Skater, like, bro, all these different games, Superman, man. Yeah. Yeah, man. It's cool to stay within like a couple genres, but you got to expand, man. I think that's one of the things I'm picking up from you is, you know, you just expand your wealth of, you know, music, and don't let nothing box you in to, you know, listen to and then create whatever you want to as well. Mm-hmm. Man. Yeah. So that's amazing, man.
Yo, thank you. Thank you,
man. So, okay. I gotta ask you this, man. You fix a lot of different machines, man, but you make beats. you make beats on a SP-404, you know, SX or some other devices, like some Akai device. Like, you know, you make beats on a whole bunch of different.
Bro, I got a lot of. I got a lot of gear. It's really bad.
You do, man. Like what's your favorite piece of gear to make beats on, man,
hands down. Oh shit, something just fell, my bad. Hands down, my favorite piece of gear is my MPC 1000, bro. Like that thing is, when I got JJOS on that, because I had a lot of samplers. Like I think at my peak I had like 12 like all at once. It was really bad, but yeah, so like a lot. So I used, when like I said, like when I started, like the first two pieces of gear that I got was a 404 and a 1000. And then when I finally like locked in on the 1000 with JJOS on it, that's kind of been like my mainstay. Like I live in the 1K, like most of the time when I'm making a beat and stuff like that. So like the 1000 is my favorite piece of gear. The runner up, I would say, is my SP555. Like, really, I love those two things to death. Like my 404, I love my 404. That's my performance device. Definitely, like those. If I had to downsize, which I'm kind of doing right now, the ones that I'm keeping, the 1K, the 404, and the 555, like that, and I could be happy. Like I got everything I need right there.
Man, the 555 is like an underrated, you know what I mean, like piece of gear, man. Like why do you think the 555 is so underrated, man?
Because they're expensive. Yo, like, I'm so serious. Like, bro, like, trying to find a 555 is like, people are like putting some like crazy prices on it. Like, it sucks, man, because it's such a cool piece of gear. Like, I love it because I use it sometimes in my live performances because it has like the D beam, like the little like sensor that you can like move your hand and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's gimmicky, but I love it because when you pull that thing out, and you do the filter. Everyone's like, "Yo, he's doing that shit with his hand. That's crazy."
Yeah, yo. Like, I've seen you, Nothing New. Who else? Lena Fornia. Man, who else, man? Yo Cisco Kid, Designer Dreams from Houston too, man.
Yeah, so, he's in the Dallas area, man. Like, Dallas, I met up area? With him in June. I met him still do, and that's how I met Suma before. Listen, he did. So we can get into that, bro. Let me tell you about my Dallas homies, bro. I love them so much.
Talk to him, yo. Yeah, yo.
But yeah, like, here, I'm getting on a tangent, my V. I'm gonna share my love about my Dallas homies real quick. Mm-hmm. So it was in June. I was out there for work, right? And I was just like, bro, there has to be one person here, right? That makes beats and shit like that. Like, I could, like, you know, meet up with. And I started thinking, I was like, yo, who is it? And I was like, oh shit, yo, Cisco Kid. So I sent him a message on IG. I was like, yo, I'm here in Dallas for like a month. I want to like do some like beat stuff. Like, do you have like, are you down? And he's like, yo, we're doing a Flip a Beat Club at Four Corners Brewery like this Friday. Like, you should come pull through and stuff like that. So I was like, bet. So, bro, that was so fun because I just like, I didn't have any gear. I just brought my laptop. And that's how I met like Yo Cisco Kid. And it was so funny because like one of the first couple beat makers that, you know, that I was like looking when I was like on IG and stuff like that was Yo Cisco Kid because he was like posting like pretty regularly. So I was telling him, I was like, bro, this is like a really weird full circle moment. Like, I was like watching your shit and now I'm here and we're hanging out, like making beats. And he's like, yeah, dude, like, and he's such a, man, Dylan's such a cool, genuine guy, man. I love him so much.
Yeah.
I got so much love for him, bro. Like, we had like a lot of cool, like while I was there, he was just like, bro, you want to hang out? Like, bro, you trying to do something? Like, hey, yo, I'm doing this. So I got to hang out with him. I got to hang out with Still Do. And then like one day, like Still Do was like, hey, I'm gonna go meet up with Suma. Do you want to come? I was like, hell yeah, dude. I was like, I want to meet the other gear repair man. That's right. I was like, let's go. So that's how I met up with Suma. Me and Suma were like, yo, what's good? Like, it was so cool because we were like, bro, it's the other gear repair man. That's crazy. But yeah, man, I got a lot of love for the Dallas homies, man. Like,
yeah,
such great guys, man.
Yeah, man. Like, I met Yo Cisco Kid. I think it was either June or July of this year, man. We were doing a beat set for Sonny's in Austin, Texas. So yeah, they drove up from Houston to check it out. And that's where I first seen him. I mean, he was like, yo, I'll go by Yo Cisco. I'm like, oh shit, okay. Then I started listening, I started following him on IG and I'm like, yo, this guy's got a freaking, you know, spacecraft in his, you know, wherever he's creating his music, like,
bro, all the machines. Space is so cool, bro. Like, man, like when I went, I was like, yo, I'm like, my man got the Star Captain Express 3000 over here, bro. Like, he's decked out, man. He's, man, Dylan, he's a great guy, bro. Like,
yeah, man. Yeah, I got that from him when I was talking to him, because I was talking to him right after, I think it was after my set. And I was looking at Acclimated Assassins records because he sells records at these events sometimes. So I was like, just talking to him, and I was like, man, this guy's cool. Let me follow him, man. Then we started chopping it up, man. So I've been following him ever since then, man. I even got, I think I got one of his cassettes here too, man. What's it called? High Time. Yeah, I had to get High Time. Oh,
he slid that on me before I left. He was like, bro, here. And I was like, yo, for real?
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. High Time is it. Yo, his music is dope too, man. Like, don't sleep on his beats, man. It's just something about how he creates it, but then he processes it. And, man,
he runs a very, very cool setup. Like, when I was at his studio, I'm not gonna divulge no secrets, but I was there, like, he kind of like went through like his process with me, and I was like, dude, that shit's crazy. I was like, it's so cool. Like, it's just, it's like something I would have never thought about, because like, you know, like everybody has their own processes as far as like when they're making beats and stuff like that. So when you get that new perspective, you're like, bro, how do I integrate that? Like how do I do that? Like, so it's cool, man. Like, everyone has their own little way, and when you pick it up, you're like, oh dude, like how can I put that in my shit? And then it's like when you get it, you're like, oh shit, this works. You're like, this is crazy. Like,
yeah, them little gems that you get from just different types of people creating, man. Like, yo, man, it's so many amazing creatives out there, man, doing some freaky, crazy stuff, man. It's, yo, tap in, man. Like, all you gotta do is talk to people, man. I that's one thing I've noticed since I've like been in the beat community and performing and stuff like that, is if you know just go up, introduce yourself, they are open book, man. Like, they ain't gonna give you like all the jewels, but for the most part, they are willing to like help you out, man. And
yeah, man, like,
that's important, man.
No, you're absolutely right. Like, Yo Cisco could said it best. When I went out there, he goes, when you meet the people that get it, like that, like they get you, like they understand, like, you know, where you're coming from, or they understand like the stuff that you do, like they get the same shit that you get. Like, it's an awesome feeling, man. And sometimes all it is that you just got to reach out, because I would have never had that experience that happened while I was in Dallas if it wasn't for the fact that I just said, yo, like, I'm in the area, what's good? Like, it's so crazy. So yeah, like, reaching out is super important. Like, I'm 100% a proponent of going out there and like going to meet people, like in your local scene, or if you're in, you know, somewhere new, like definitely like hit somebody up. You never know what's gonna happen.
Yeah man, it's highly recommended to get from, you know, go outside, man, connect with, you know, your local beat scene, or if you got to drive a little bit, yo, just go get on IG and figure out who's in, like, let's just say Florida, because that's where you're from, right? Is it Orlando or is it somewhere else?
I'm in Tampa right now, but for a lot Tampa. Where I lived in Winter Haven, it was like in the middle between Tampa and Orlando. So I spent a lot of time in Orlando, like, doing stuff, so that, like, I'm more accompanied towards the Orlando scene a lot, because I know a lot of the homies out there.
Nice. Mike, yo, if I gotta ask this, man, and it always comes up in my brain, but I have to ask my guests, if you weren't doing music, if you weren't creating music, what else would you be doing?
Man, if I wasn't creating music, I I'm very big on like always like learning like something new or taking stuff apart. So I mean, I probably would, you know, be doing like live mixing still, or be like doing stuff for like theater, or, you know, like taking something apart, putting it back together. You know what I mean? Like that. If I wasn't doing music, man, like I'd probably be, you know, mixing shows, taking some gear apart, figuring some new thing out that I didn't know before. Like, you know, like the other, like I have like all these like different intros, right? So like the other day, like not the other day, but like a couple of years ago, I taught myself how to like make watches and stuff like that. So I would have found something to do.
Wow. You know what I mean? For real engineer stuff, yo, man, you got an engineer mind. Yeah.
I love taking stuff apart, man. It's great. Like, yeah, learning, you know, demystifying the magic and learning like how something works. It's always been super interesting to me.
Listen, internets, man, get with Matt with 1T and Sumo Wave, man. They the guys that, you know what I mean, the engineers that can fix whatever issue you might have. Like, hook up with them, man. Show love to them.
I got one more. Coco the Geek, man. Like, I found out about her the other day. She's another like gear repair person. She's awesome, bro. I was like looking at her stuff, like the stuff that she fixed. She fixes a bunch of keyboards, drum machines, and stuff like that. She's out in the Atlanta area, so like definitely, like if you're around there, you need a gear repair lady, she got you, bro. She's really cool, man. Just check her out.
Yeah, Coco the Geek repairs. Yeah, man. From I can't see where she's from, but yeah, man. Yo, see, this is why we would have never known. You got multiple people. You got a lot of people that probably fix music gear and stuff like that. But to hear it firsthand, and then you know this person, you know, y'all all connected. So, man, yo, man, if y'all got any broken equipment, hit them up on IG, man. I'm going to leave Coco. I'm going to leave Matt with 1T in profile Malik Subban Waves in the description of the show, man, so y'all can link with them if you got any issues or got any questions about music gear. They the beautiful minds to deal with that, you know. But yo, I gotta ask this question, yo. There's a few mutants that are going through this journey right now. Can you recommend like something that they should read, or they should watch, or they should listen to help them?
Man, I gotta think about that one too, because I stay like looking for stuff on like YouTube or like anything. Like, you know, I'm gonna bring up the obvious one, like, yo, check out De La Time. Like, that thing, that book is awesome. There's that Rick Rubin book that he came out with, I don't remember the name, but like
Creativity.
You know, like, I don't remember that book that Rick Rubin has out. Like, that is awesome. I like the audiobook of that a lot better, because, you know, I'm always like walking around, like changing, like fixing stuff or like cleaning. So I'll put that on, man. You know, like, if you like, I like to learn like different pieces of gear and stuff like that. So like I watch a lot of like Marlo Diggs, Ricky Tinez.
Oh yeah. Out here.
Oh man, who else am I watching that I'm watching? Like, man, there's a lot of people. Shit, I gotta look at my YouTube. Let me pull that up. But man, like, I'm big on, like, you know, gaming information, and I love it. Like, Ricky Tinez has a lot of stuff about like the 1000, and like, you know, he makes a lot of like house music and stuff like that. So like, that's how I kind of like learned all my stuff, like on the 1K. Like Marlo Diggs, when I had an XL, he had a lot of like 2000 XL content. There's so much. Like, definitely my favorite thing is like to watch like the Rec Show podcast, like, you know, learning about like all these different beat makers and stuff like that, and learning like their philosophies. Like, I feel, you know, like, music is one thing, but like, you know, like, how is that person like outside of music? Like, who are they? Like, that's always been like a big proponent to me, because like, I could give two fucks about the numbers or anything like that. What I care about is like, who are you as a person? Like, why, you know, what would get me invested into you? And, you know, hearing people talk, or just, you know, just talking to people and stuff like that, that's always cool, because then you learn those different perspectives, and then from there you can kind of like add that, you know, take the things that you like and, you know, keep going.
Man, beautifully said. Yo, and I just want everybody to know, the name of that book is called The Creative Act, A Way of Being. It's kind of like a big, it's got like a vinyl record, kind of, a circle with a dot in the middle. Like, that's it.
It's like a target, something like that.
Yeah. So, man, yeah, that I would recommend that one too. Get it on Amazon or at your local bookstore or something like that. But yeah, man, everything you said, yo, like, yeah, man. I definitely agree with that. It's because I watch Ricky Tynes. I watch Marlo Diggs. Like, I watch them just for like inspiration. But then also, like, Ricky Tynes is straight analog. You know what I mean? Like, he's straight analog.
Marlo
Diggs is analog. Yeah.
They do a lot of like cool stuff. And it's just like cool to learn like someone else's like philosophy to music, or like how they do things, because then it's like, oh shit, I didn't think of that. I didn't know I could do that. Wait a minute. Like, and then you're like, oh yo, let me try that. So that's you know, that's always been, oh man, there was another one, and I'm drawing blanks. My V.
Nah, you good.
Oh, man, I can't pull this up fast enough.
There's a lot, man. There's a lot, man.
Like, I eat a lot of music content on YouTube.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
Very man. Sick beats, man. Like, oh my god. Like, let me tell you, I learned a lot from him, man. Like,
that's the master. That's the sensei right there.
Yeah, bro, for real. Like,
yeah, man.
There's a lot, man. There's so much out there. You know, there's all like things that I didn't know about, like, or just like other creators, or just like other people just doing shit. And you're like, whoa, I didn't know. Right. That. Oh, like, there's this dude, he goes by K Magnetic or Kumachen _407 on Instagram, and I think on YouTube. He did a mod of his MPC 5000 and his MPC Live that he replaced like some capacitors, and it kind of like changed the sound profile of his machine. Like, I haven't looked, like, he goes into depth like on that, and I was like, oh shit, that's so cool. And then I found out that he lives like a couple hours away from me. I was like, whoa, that's crazy. Like, what?
Wow.
And it was a random YouTube video. Like, dude, like, it's so crazy what you'll find on the internet, man. There's so much information out there.
Yeah, yo, I'm pretty sure, like, if anybody's listening to this, you got access to the internet. There's a wealth of information, of useful information. Not, you know, the fuck shit is going to be there. You know what I mean? It's got to be a balance in the world anyway.
Yeah, but, exactly.
You know what I mean? But, yo, like, if you serious, man, like, YouTube University, you know what I mean? Google's.
Conductor Williams, like, Eddie Leonard, like, Cook and Salt. Like, there's so much out there, man. My YouTube pulled up, so I was like, oh, there we go.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Cook and Salt is another one. Yeah, man. Like, these are people that have that experience, man. Been doing it for some years, you know, honing their craft. But then also, they giving y'all gems as well, man. So, man, yeah, I just go on IG, man. Just start looking up all of these people that we're talking about right now. And then you'll just go down a rabbit hole. And then you'll use these techniques and tips and stuff like that. And the sound of your music is going to be different, but it's going to be your skill set is going to expand. You know, that's the best way to put it, I guess.
Exactly. Like, you never know what you're going to learn that you're going to be like, oh shit. And like, that could be like a turning point for you.
Yeah. We need to expand always, man. You can't just make beats one simple way and then, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it gets boring. People, you don't want shit.
It gets boring. Yeah, man. Yeah, let me see. Okay, so now I gotta ask you about your performances, man. So
let's go.
Yeah, your performance. You got a couple performances, man. Like, you did a executive producer actually on my birthday too, man.
Maybe oh no so, way! Oh, man, so I happy birthday if I knew that.
Yeah, man. So good. Yo, so
now I know. You gonna hear from me now?
Yeah, I got you. Yo, Orlando, Florida. Mm-hmm. Studio Max Orlando is where you did this performance, man. So, yo, that set, it's 13 minutes, but yo, that 13 minutes, you was rocking, dog. Like, what went into you creating those beats that you created, that you played, but then also your live set performance?
So, as far as like the beats that I had for those, like, very much like, so I would say maybe that was like my third, fourth show that I think I did at that point. I don't remember. But for that show, like, I had a lot, I learned a lot from the last times that I had played. And I was like, okay, cool. For executive producer, they're like, hey, you have like 15 minutes max, right? So, like, you know, 15 minutes is like, you still, it's kind of, it's a lot, but it's still like very, like, you know, short, because I was used to like 30 sets, right? So I was like, oh shit, like, I really gotta like bring my A game and stuff like that. So I quote this character, this friend Carrick video a lot, where he's just like, bro, like, play, he's like, if you're doing your live set for the first time, you want to play like your best, like, you know, you want to play the stuff that you're like, damn, I fuck with this. So that was my whole kind of like idea of creating my set, is that I wanted something that was progressive, but I wanted something that with a lot of energy. Like, I didn't want to play like really, I didn't want to play like really slow, like 86, 88 BPM. Like, I kept it like 95, 100, 115, 120, 140, and then I came back down, right? So that was kind of like my idea, is that I wanted to keep it like bumping. Like, I wanted to play a lot of the tracks that, you know, like, you know, get, because it was late at night, right? Because it was like around like 9 to like 1 in the morning or something like that. So I was like, cool, like, it's late, you know, there's a lot of it's gonna be in like a really cool environment, like, you know, the lights are gonna be on, there's not gonna be any sun. So I wanted something, you know, I want to keep it bumping, I want to keep the vibes, right? So that's kind of how I put that set together.
Man, that set is crazy, yo. Like, yo, just the way like your tempo, your tempo changes and the beats, I'm like, man, like, dude, yo, I'm trying to make house music right now just because of that. I'm watching your set. I'm like, man, I gotta try my hand at this house music. And so I'm just in the research mode right now of like, how do you even make house music? I know people think it's easy, but actually it's very intricate, the way, you know, the, like, you know, the main beat and the breakdowns and the build ups and, you know,
yeah,
everything,
just
like
learning
that.
All that, and like kind of like keeping the flow, because it's like, you know, I'm used to making beats where they're like a minute, 2 minute long, right? And it's just like, how do I make this house, like, because it's very much, when you play house, it's very progressive. Like, it's very long, like, you know, like long coming ins and coming outs and stuff like that. So I'm like, damn, I gotta like not play a 3 minute song, like I have to play for 15 minutes. So it's like, yeah, how do I get this to flow nicely and then flow into my next beat, right? So so that it's fun, man. Like, I love making house. I love, like, it's cool, like when I look back at that video, because I was so focused like on my 404, my 555, I didn't realize that people were like bumping into, like, I was like, oh shit, I didn't know that guy back there was bumping. I only saw the dude up front. Like, it was really cool, man, like just to see that.
Right, yeah, man. Like, yo, you also are doing, you did a Cactus Moon Market, man. So a live set for Cactus Moon Market, which was a dope scene. I don't know if it was it might have been outside.
Yeah, it was outside. So I can go into that a little bit more.
Yeah. So what went into Cactus Moon Market? That was a dope set as well.
Yo, thank you. Really appreciate that. So, Cactus Moon Market. So how it kind of went is that the lady that owns the market, she runs a plant shop, like inside that building that was behind us. That's the plant shop that's inside. And so she'll have an event where she'll have these different vendors and stuff like that come out. So my friend Ricky Nish, on Instagram, that's what he goes by, Ricky told me about it, and he was like, bro, do you want to, like, he goes, I'm gonna be here for like a couple hours. He's like, do you want to like come and play? And I was like, hell yeah, dude, I'm down. Like, I'll go to Tampa. I'll go play at a fly market. That sounds fun. So I was like, Ricky, like, we could play our sets, because like I think we were there for like 4 hours or something like that. So we were also like DJing and then also like playing like our live sets. So I was like, oh cool, we can like DJ for like this amount of time, and then from there we'll do like a beat, we'll do our beat sets. And Ricky was like, I'm cool, I'm about it, let's go. So, you know, we set up the camera and I was like, cool, let's just do a beat set, like fuck it, like why not, like everyone's here enjoying the music, so let's just play our own. So that's what we did, you know, we put that together and we did our set, and it was really cool. Like, a lot of people came up to us afterwards like, oh my god, like, what's your Instagram, like, what do you guys do? And so like next time when we went when we came back, when they invited us back, we brought like a little sign that's like, hey, this is us, here's our Instagram, like
nice. Yeah. Yo, you gotta have your signs, man, like your QR codes.
Yes.
Apps and, man, yo, that these are your like live set requirements, man. Like, if you really want to get your name out there and people to follow you, like,
they'll come up to have you, like, that. Oh my god, when we had the sign, everyone's like, oh okay, that's who you guys are, like cool. And then people would be like coming up taking pictures of the sign. It was cool, man. So I was like, oh shit, we need to bring the sign, like the sign works.
Yes, the sign does work, man. I had mine on the iPad, so people were scanning, like I had like three different QR codes and stuff like that. It just makes it that much easier.
Oh, I never I'm gonna try that now. Yo, you dropped the gem for me.
Yeah. So, you know what I mean? It just makes it a lot easier. Like, while you playing your set, people can come up and be like, hey, let me scan his IG, see, you know, so I can follow him, and you know, your YouTubes and, you know, where you find your music. Like, it just makes it that much easier. And then the conversation once you get done is like, yo, I'm following you now, I'm checking out your music, like, you know, where can I support, type of thing. Like, and those are genuine people that really like want to know more about you. So make it easy, make that conversation a lot less stressful.
Exactly.
What's it, stressful? Stress less?
Yeah.
Yeah, stress.
Mitigate the stress.
Yeah, mitigate the stress. Yeah. Mitigate the stress from like first time, like they just now figuring out like who you are. They watched your B-set. They, you know, they like, yo, man, he got something like this. I enjoy this music. Just make it easier for them, man.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it comes down to anyway, man. Just making it easier for people to find you and support you.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, it's like you're already there, right? Like, might as well, you know, go the whole yard for it.
Yeah, man. Yo, so I got to give a tip, man. I got to ask you about a tip about, you know, live sets. Like, what are your must-haves for your live set too?
So my must have, like, for my live sense is simplicity, bro. Like, if it's not simple, I'm not gonna do it. like and just in the, because like sometimes what I'll do is that I, like, in my live sets, like the other, I was playing at a Hard Knock Life at Uncle Tony's Donut Shop in Orlando, like I want to say like a couple weeks ago. So my 555 was kind of messed up because it got like messed up during the move. And I was just like, okay, like, how do I was like, I need the second, because, you know, like when you use a 404 and trying to like fade into like another song, sometimes you'll fit like you'll do that tape delay, right? And you're like, oh yeah, mm-hmm. yo, sounds great. And then you tape delay the next track. I was like, shit, like, yo, no. And they like freaking out a little bit. So like, yeah, for me, simplicity's key, right? So it's like, cool, like all my stuff is like in like a row. Like, I'm not like, oh, okay, like this is that, like, you know, like making sure you have everything like marked. Like, sometimes what I'll do is I'll have my phone and I'll be like, pad one, this beat, pad two, this beat. Mm. But just making it easier for yourself. Like, for me, I love doing transitions. So sometimes what I'll do is I'll run my 404 into my 1000, and then on the 1000, I have since it's coming in, I can put delays in the through. So I don't have to use the delay on the 404. Like, I can just delay it, fade the next track in, come do like a little transition sound, come in with my next beat. Just, you know, make it easy for yourself, bro. Cause you're up there and, you know, you're in the heat of battle. You know what I'm saying? You're like, damn, bro, I'm trying to make this shit sound nice. So, right. You know, simplicity is key. That's just what it is for me. Just as long as you make it easy for yourself to do your thing and you can just rock out. That's the tip for me, man.
Man, how important are transitions to our live sets, man? Like, yo, can they make or break your performance in your eyes or to the audience?
So I would, so this kind of comes back to my technical training, right? So like when we used to do musicals and stuff like that, like transitions were everything, you know what I mean, to get you to the first act to the second act. That's how I think about it. I'm like, okay, cool, like I played these couple songs, I'm gonna do the switch up. Like if I just drop like, okay, cool, I'm playing a lo-fi beat and then I'm throwing out like some like DMB, like that's not gonna work out. That's gonna be like jarring, right? So it's like, okay, cool, like your transitions kind of give the audience like, oh hey, like where is he going with this, like where are we going, that good enough pause where there's no dead air, and then you can kind of go into the next thing. Like it's kind of like a bridge, you know what I mean? Like it's coming down, you're easing through, and then boom, you're back on the road. Oh shit, I dropped.
Right yeah I noticed that them transitions, like I watch a lot of beat sets, man, and I'm noticing like when y'all's transitions, like you can't tell when the first song ends, but you can tell you blending into the second song, which makes the transitions even, it's like a DJ. Wow moment. It's like DJing basically. So like if I'm trying to get better at my transitions as well.
I'm still trying to get good. Yeah, I'm not there yet.
You know, this is a work in progress, you know? So I'm watching like, you know, Beat Cinema, what was it? Eloquent. I'm watching DiBiase's beat sets. I'm watching a whole bunch of different people's beat sets, and you know, I'm like, man, you know, their transitions just from one song to the next is dope. Or in between, like one song to the next, like there's a little, you know, skit or interlude or something like that, and then boom, brings in the second song. But yo, I'm noticing like transitions super important, man.
Yeah, they're, man, like when I learned, like, because when I did my first show, I did no transitions, right? Like, I was like, and like, you could tell, like, the audience would be like very, like, jarred because I would just jump into something next. And I was like, oh, okay, like, it's another song. When I started doing transitions, everyone's like, oh, shit, like, whoa, like, how did we get here? Where did we come from?
Yeah, that, it's like a, for real, like, you for real taking them on a musical journey, you know, like they exactly, they stay on the ride the whole time, they ain't getting off type of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. You're just keeping them there, you're keeping that attention going, which is, you know, another thing, you know what I mean, like just keeping the audience attention. It's just like DJing, you know what I mean, like that. I got mad respect for DJs, dog. Like the fact that you can blend like music and stuff like that, like different tracks, and you can make it sound like this one whole thing, like that shit's awesome. And when you could do it on your own, like with your stuff, you're like, oh, you're like, yo, I got it like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're like, damn, bro, like I'm the man. Like I got this.
Right. Yeah, man. Like, shout out to all the DJs, man. Like, yo, it takes skills, man, to rock a crowd, to read the audience. Like, you got to be like a psychologist of music basically, man,
just to read the room. Like that's such a skill. Like
yeah, man, like everybody's like, yo, all they do is get up there and have a CDJ and, you know, play tunes and stuff like that. But no, if a for real DJ is reading the room, reading the energy, and then picking everything up to where it's a party the entire time. I know DJ Jazzy Jeff is, you know, notorious for rocking the crowd for like 2 hours straight, or like Madlib.
That's when he plays this 2 hours, bro. 2 hours of just nonstop. Like, bro, I can tell you 30 minutes and I'm like, ooh, like, bro, 2 hours. Yo, that's some. And, you know, you're throwing out banger after banger. Like, that's a lot of work, man. Like, I used to think the same way, where I'd be like, oh, yo, DJing's easy. And then I did it and I was like, oh, no, bro. This is hard.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, you think something is easy, but when you go and do it firsthand, it's like, nah, I need to learn more. I need to get my skills up. So it just takes you down a rabbit hole anyway. So you can get better and then incorporate that into your own sets, you know?
Exactly.
Man.
That's a gem right there.
That's a gem, yo. Yo, man. So, okay, I got maybe 3 or 4 more questions. But I got to ask you this, man. Like, given your... You know, you've been creating, but you've been listening to music for like your entire life, basically. Like, who is Matt with 1T's like top beat maker, music producer, composer? Like, no genres off limits either. There's so many to pick from. I know this.
Yeah, you know? I'm like, man, like the one that I can like.
That's like, if you want an island, man, you have to pick 5 artists.
I got you. Just one. I was like, damn, bro. Like, you can't.
Oh,
like,
nah, I can't one. Just ask just one, man. That's bro. That's super hard. Yeah.
My top five. Like, for me, like, if I had to listen to these artists for the rest of my life, I'd be happy. One of them is definitely like Hideki Naganuma, man, the composer for Jet Set Radio. Like, that man, he makes the craziest shit that you're gonna be on your toes the whole time, right? This is hard, man. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, that's definitely like, right. Man, like, his whole discography, like, it's bangers. Like, I can listen to that for the rest. I've been listening to it for too long at this point, so it's like, so Hideki Naganuma, Nujabes, definitely Marlo Diggs, man. Like, the stuff that he comes out with, especially his Come Home album, I can listen to that. I literally have it on.
That's a dope album, man.
Bro.
That's a dope album, you know. The sound on that thing is, oh, yeah, go ahead, man.
Bro, beautiful. Like, no, I get it. Like, because worth it. Who else, man? I would say Taji Mahal, definitely. Like, he was a very big inspiration for me, and I love listening to all his beats. Like, I have his whole, like, I went on Bandcamp and bought his whole everything that he had on Bandcamp the other day, so like, definitely worth it for me. Man, who else? Yo, MF Doom, I gotta be real. Love that man. Bro, love everything that he put out, you know. Rest in peace. And I would say Alchemist, man. Like, the Alchemist got some heaters, man. Like,
yeah, ALC, yeah, man. Classics, man.
Exactly, man. Do I got one more? I would say John Legend too. I don't know if y'all know who John Legend is, but Take It Slow, that whole album that he has with that song, bro.
Yeah,
heat.
yo.
But like, I grew up. It's like slow, like ballads and stuff like that, like. Man,
take it slow. Yeah, man. Bro. Yo, a crazy story, man. Like, okay, listen, man, I'm young. I think I'm maybe 18-19 years old, and I got the opportunity to go to a Kanye West with John Legend.
What?
With Pusha T. I think it might have been Pusha T up there, or Big Sean, but in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, man. So, yo, I remember just buying the CD that John Legend had before he came out with his very first album. Uh-huh. I can't remember where it's at. I hope I still have that CD, man. But yo, it was like a church R&B type of CD, man. That's the vibe he had in the very beginning. Like, right now it's more polished, you know, more. Yeah. But that first album, that first album hit, yo.
Bro, that's crazy. That like, you got to see John Legend, Kanye, and Pusha T original Big Sean. Like, bro, that's so cool. What?
Man.
Bro, I got Kanye on there too. Like, bro.
Yeah, easy. Yeah, man. Like, he inspired a lot of people too, man. Like, he's still inspiring people. Like,
yo, to this day, man. Like, I grew up listening to Kanye too. Like, that's, you know, crazy. Like, that man's brain when it comes to production, wild.
Yeah, man. Yo, yeah, shout out to Marlo Diggs, Alchemist, man. You know what's it called, Viseu, Portugal is where Marlo Diggs is from, man. So, yo, his YouTube always inspirational, man. I get a lot of tips from that, man.
Bro, he has a lot of good stuff, man. Like, ever since I found that, I was like, bro, this is a gem. Like, that whole channel that he has.
Yep. Yeah, it was, who else was up there, man? Like, it was somebody else, but he had glasses. I can't remember where he was from, but,
Is it the Midlife Synthesis? Is it him?
Well, I watch him too. Yeah, I watch him too, but, dang, it's... Man, I cannot remember his name, but he always did like unboxings and making beats with different gear and stuff like that. And then he had something happen with his brain or his eye or something like that.
Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about. Damn, I don't know his name, but I know I can see the YouTube logo in my brain.
Yeah, yeah, man. Like, yeah, it's so many people, man, that giving gems and yeah, you gotta get a big shout out to them, man. So, yo, who in your contemporaries is Matt with 1T listening to? Like, who are you bumping as far as beat makers, music producers, composers? Like, who makes your list to be like, you know what, man, I'm listening to he or she today. Yeah,
yo, shout out to my homie Ricky Nish, bro. Ricky makes some heaters, like, out of bangers, bro. I love, there's Ricky Nish, there's Yo Cisco Kid, let me see, Friend Carrick had an album that I really like that he put out, Geology, fire.
Yeah, shout out to Bag Season Records, man. You know, Friend
yeah
Carrick.
Man, oh my god, yeah. That was so cool.
Yeah.
Season, man, that was cool with the little things that they did. Like, man, who else? Who are my contemporaries that I really miss? Suma has heaters. He has a couple heaters that I heard. That I'm like, damn, bro. Still do the home. But there's so many, dude. Like, Abnormal, bro. Ab hasn't put out any music just yet. But like, anytime I go to like Ab's crib and he shows me his stuff, literally, like, my brain's like, I'm like, how did you make this, bro? please explain, because this shit's crazy. Man, who else that I'm listening to from all the beat homies that I follow? Let me see. That was a good hit as far as like a couple. Let me see. Let me look. I'm looking through Bundo.
I got a Bundo. Shout out to Bundo, man.
Bro, Deke's beats are awesome, man. Like, love him. Love the homies. There's a lot, man. There's a lot of cool homies. I know Ross does some stuff. Like, whenever he posts, I don't know if he's posted any music, but like, anytime I catch like his IG stuff, it's really cool. Sam Drumlow, man. Like, I know you had him on the podcast.
Yeah.
Like,
he's,
and then my favorite hometown favorite, Argenis Santos. Oh my god, I'm waiting for him. Like, he played at executive producer, so his set's on there. When I heard that the first time, bro, I was like, this man's a legend. Every time I see him, I let him know. But he's up there with me as far as like local homies that I listen to music, or just like as far as like the beat making scene for me.
Okay, so these are the people like we should be tapped into. You know, like, yes. Right now, like,
also,
just go follow them.
And Gijo, Saz UK, those, the another two, love them. They make some really badass music. I know Saz has a couple albums that, if anybody, if you're into like lo-fi hip hop, definitely check them out. Like,
who is it?
Saz, SAAZ UK, or just Saz, I think is what she goes by right now. So they run Echo World. I don't know if you've heard of them. That they do stuff like in the UK, like in the Bristol area. So that definitely, like, should check them out too. They both, Saz and Gijo, like, they're kind of the they're the creators of Echo World, and they make some really badass shit. I really enjoy their stuff.
Wow. EchoWorld.co, everybody. Yo, that's who he's talking about. S-A-L, so three A's. Okay, S-A-A-A-Z-U-K. Okay, I got you. And then N-G-J-O, I-N dot J-I-J-O. Yeah. Okay, yeah, yo, we gonna tap into everything, man, yo. I think, is this a cassette label, Echo World?
I think they do cassettes. I know they have a couple vinyls and stuff like that that I know, but I think they do have a couple cassettes that they have out.
Man, I need like $20 million, man. There's so much music I want to buy.
Bro, like, especially on cassettes, dude. I am a cassette king, bro. I love having cassettes. Like the other day, I fixed up a Maranta, like PMD. Like it's like this mini cassette like recorder, dude. It's so cool. Like I love cassettes, bro. I love the sound of them.
Man, like it's just something about holding a cassette or a vinyl in your hand.
Like how that shit in there, letting it go. Like
right? You know what I'm saying? Like you ain't gotta have your phone in your hand. You know what I mean? Like
no notification. Like oh,
none of that.
Something like you're just running through. Like I love physical, man. I love vinyl. I love tape. Like. They're awesome, bro. It's just, you know, you can just let go. Just let it play.
Man. Yo, it's... And you know what the crazy thing is? It's, there's companies that are coming out with, like, cassette players. Like... Or, like, miniature, like... miniature vinyl players. Or, like... Yo, it's some crazy stuff coming out on IG. Man, I'll be looking at so much crazy stuff on IG. Like... Yo, man, cassettes and vinyl CDs gonna be around for a very long time.
Like, yo, definitely. It's just, it's odd. It's the I feel honestly like I love the physical format, man. It's just cool to have it like in your hand. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Digital's awesome, right? But like to have a cassette in your hand, to have it designed, right? You know, like has a label on it and stuff like that. Like, there's just something about that I feel like it's lost. Well, not now because it's had a pretty big resurgence, right? But it's just awesome. It's cool to hold the tape in your hand or like to go to a local show and buy a tape off of somebody. Like I love that shit. Like that's so cool.
Yeah, man. Like it's nothing like, you know, getting something from a concert or from a beat show. Like just that means the world, man. Like if somebody just sells one merch, one CD, one cassette, one t-shirt, one sticker pack, like yo, man, you have no clue the impact that just had on that person. That day, man. So super important for, you know, for the internets, man, y'all listening, if y'all go to shows, man, connect with them, you know, follow them, but then, you know, just buy one thing maybe and then
just cop a sticker, bro.
You know what I'm saying? Cop a sticker, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like
just slap that thing on. They'd be like, oh, I know that guy. Like
exactly, man. Like it means that much, man. And think about it, like, yo, it's an investment, so they can keep going, man. Just keep expanding, keep getting better, and you'll see them again maybe a year or the same year, and yo, it's like they just keep evolving, you know. So you being a direct contributor to somebody's evolution, man, that's a big deal, man, if you really think about it, you know?
Yeah, man, the impact, like you're putting you'll never know that little gesture will put the battery on someone's back, man. Like that, because I'd be like, damn, bro, someone bought a tape off me? That's crazy. Like,
right. Right. Yo, I was like, man, it's so many. Like if I can go to all the concerts in like Houston, Dallas and Austin, I would, man, because I know there's so much dope music that's out there, and I just want to have like a piece of it as like kind of like a time capsule type thing. So when
yes,
I get older,
yes,
I'll be like,
I know.
Yo. You know what I'm saying? When I get older, my grandkids be like, yo, like that, yo, grandpa, what was you listening to? Yo, this is what I let me put you on. Come here,
let me put you on back in the day. Like, let me tell you.
back in my day, yeah, yo. So, yeah, man, that means the world, man. But man, I gotta ask you this, yo. When, because right now, like, you know, the internet, and when they follow you after they listen to this episode, man, they're going to be like, yo, where's your music at? Yo, right now it's living on IG. Yo, but you got some dope beats. So I'm like, okay. So let me ask you this. What plans do you have for, you know, the rest of 2023 into 2024 for releasing your beats or your music or projects?
So what my goal is, because I know it's like, what, it's almost like the end of the year and stuff like that, because I do, like, I'm guilty of it, man. I have stuff living on my hard drive that I'm like, yo, I gotta drop that. And then I'm like, how do I drop it? What do I gotta do? Like, I very much, like, I walk myself back, like, you know what I mean, rather than just jumping off the ledge and just fucking letting it live where it needs to. So I mean, like, I would say, like, my plans, like, hopefully, like, beginning 2024, I have a couple projects out. Like, I have a lot of stuff that's, like, done. It's just more so of the artist. I don't know if I should put it out. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, I made that, like, a year ago. Like, it's that apprehension that I'm slowly, like, learning. Like, bro, just put that shit out there. It's just gonna live in your hard drive. Just let it go. So hopefully, you know, like, my goal is early 2024, I'm gonna have a couple projects out. Like, I know right now I'm working on a couple projects with, like, my local homies, like Abnormal Rickiness. Like, we're putting together, like, a little, like, beat tape that we're gonna release on, like, cassette and stuff like that. So that's definitely, you know, definitely check that out. It's coming soon. Stay tuned for that. And yeah, like, I'm, you know, just the plan is just to get my music out there finally and just letting it fester, because, like, I've had more than enough people come tell me, like, bro, when are you dropping your shit?
Right.
And I keep hitting them with soon. And I'm just like, I just gotta do it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I think all the material that you have, you got at least 4 albums, 5 albums. You know, so you got some EPs in there. Like, we need that, bro.
I gotta put it out there. I gotta let it. I just gotta let it go. That's my whole thing. It's just because there's a lot of heat there that I'm just like, please take it.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. Because it's like, what's the point at that point? Like, you know, like, cool, like, playing live has kind of been like my, like, cop out. Like, oh, yo, I played it live. Like, people heard it. But then I'm like, damn, bro, like, that's not enough. I'm only, like, focusing on the small facet of, like, the whole, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, man. Like, I mean, I know you probably, like, yo, like, let me figure out which songs to put out and all that type of stuff. But when you do, yo, the Reg Show Podcast, we supporting, you know, just so you know.
Yo, thank you. I'll definitely, once I have some tapes out, send me address. I'll slide you some. Don't worry. I have some projects, like, definitely, like, just these tapes that I'm waiting just to release. They're ready. Just let me know. I got you. I'll slide you one.
We gonna support, man. Like, yo, this is an investment in more music from Matt with 1T. Yo, we gotta support, man.
That means a lot, man.
Yeah, man, no doubt. Yo, so okay, final question. Well, 1.5. Yo, one. So this last question is you know, before you. You know, you into making music right now, but what do you wish you knew before you started making beats?
How to count, bro. Let me tell you, I did not know how to count music for the longest time. Like, or just like, man, like, just like the basics, let me tell you, like, right? Like, for the long, when I was making beats, like, I didn't understand, like, time signatures or, like, 4 counts equal like a bar, right? You know what I mean? Like, just simple stuff that if I had known, I probably would have got going a lot faster. It's, you know, like, learning the basics of just like how to use things. Like, man, I did not know how to use my MPC. I was like, bro, I think this is like a MIDI controller. Like, I'm gonna be real. Like, I was like, how does this shit work? And then now I'm like, bro, you gotta press record this and filter it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, now I can be like very technical and very nerdy with it. So it's just like, learning the basics, bro. Like, you just, if you can figure those things out, just kind of like to make it easier for yourself, do it. Oh my god, like that was the biggest struggle for me, is just getting it going. Because I would, like, bro, it'd be like 120 and I'm trying to like make a beat at like 86 bpm, but I didn't know what 86 bpm sounded like or like how that works. Like, such a mess.
Yeah, you're just still figuring it out. Yeah,
yeah, just learning the basics, man. That was the biggest thing for me that I wish I learned. Or just someone went like, yeah, this is how this works. Cause like I was on YouTube like all the time, like, what is a bar? What is this BPM? yeah, like, you know, like really like simple stuff. But like, you know, now I'm like, oh, okay, I know what that is.
Yeah, man. Yo, counting, like, I, once again, internets, man, just going to, yo, even if you ask questions on Instagram, like, to your, somebody you might be following, like, you know, Sam Drumlow or Marlo Diggs or Jay Phil, like, they will literally respond back to you and say, yeah, hey, man, this is, yo, check this out, this is what helped with this. Like, don't be afraid to ask for help, yo.
Yes, don't like, be, please, don't be afraid to ask for help, bro. Don't thug it out. It's not worth it.
Yeah. No need for that, man. Like, you got people that are willing to help you out, man. So he or she, like, all my female producers, you know, my male producers, man, like, yo, like, ego aside, if you don't know, just ask, and then you'll get way more gems than you were even anticipating, and this one just catapult you, man. So just
exactly,
don't be afraid, man. So, okay, man, listen, this is a dope conversation. We are with Tampa, Florida's beat maker, gear fixer, engineer, what else, man, live performer slash DJ, like, yo, man, you doing it all, yo. So what are your, what, you know, if you have any final thoughts for, you know, the internets, the beat mutants out there, what would it be?
Bro, keep moving forward. Like, honestly, like, don't, when shit, like, bro, when shit is the hardest, like, when shit gets the hardest, that is going to be, you're going to look back at that and be like, damn, bro, I'm glad that, you know, throughout it all, I kept pushing forward. That's like my biggest thing. Just don't give up. Because, man, you never know what's going to be on the, what's going to be on the next corner, or like where it's going to take you. Because, man, I've been at those points where I'm like, damn, bro, like, do I really want to keep doing this? And I just kept at it. And I'm so grateful even right now in my very short time of making beats and just doing it. Just keep moving forward. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it.
Thank you. living person on the planet. The white lights are humans. And these are the mutants.
They tell like younger kids or other producers like, that's cheating. You can't really be separate, but bro, like when it comes to this producing shit, you can do whatever you want.
You've been listening to the Rec Show podcast. Be sure to subscribe, like, and leave a comment. Remember three things: believe in your music, take care of your mentals, become the best version of yourself. Until the next one, Golden Mind signing off. Peace and love, yo.
Be the best, you got to work overtime. To be the best, you got to work overtime.
These young boys getting better. This is not like the NBA when you can retire. Like this is, you have to keep going.